Thank you, Father, that you again gathered us together. We count upon your faithfulness in this matter for preserving our health and our mental integrity and most of all our will and desire to come and be with the brethren and to accommodate ourselves to your speaking this morning. We pray that we may be continually making ourselves ready, whether it be on the Lord's Day or through our lives in any given day. But we rejoice that we can see one another's faces this day and sing and partake of the table. We pray also for Brother Bill, if he may be on his way, that you would keep and strengthen him for it, and for all those around the country, and especially the ones that are believing in circumstances that are difficult this morning, that you would come to their aid as you have promised. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I have some thoughts this morning about Abraham and God's promise to him. I'm going to start out with Hebrews 6:13-17. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, "Surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee." And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them in all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. It is said of Abraham that when God made promise to Abraham, after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Abraham's patience is a chronicle beginning in Genesis 12 through Genesis 25:8. Abraham was 75 when the Lord called him to come out of Haran and go into a land that God would show him. He was 165 years old when he died and was gathered to his people. That's 90 years of patiently enduring. Yet he did not receive quite all of the promises, at least not the very extent of the promises. The promise was too great for one man to receive all of it. The promise was an eternal promise, and its effects reached into the world to come. When the Lord first spoke with Abraham, he commanded him to leave his country, leave his kindred and his father's house, and go to land that God would show him. In the same call, God made great and far-reaching promises to him, and I listed some of them. I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless them that bless you, and curse them that curse you. In you shall all families of the earth be blessed. And it is written, so Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him. He obeyed. When Abraham and Lot came to the plain of Mamre, God promised this, unto the seed will I give this land. So not only was it a blessing that I just mentioned, but he was promised land also. After Lot separated himself from him, God again promised him the land and his seed to be as the dust of the earth in number. After the battle of the five kings, God came to Abram in a vision and promised him that his seed would be as numerous as the stars of the heaven, and his land would reach from the river of Egypt to the river Euphrates. And as of yet, Abraham had no seed. But he believed in the Lord, and the Lord accounted it to him for righteousness. You, brethren, know the account of Abram's life. Ishmael was born to Hagar. This was not the promised seed. God made it clear that Isaac, whom God himself named, was the promised seed to be born through Sarah. Yeah. God established the covenant of circumcision with Abraham, and it was obeyed the following day. In all these interactions between God and Abraham, God reiterated his promise, and Abraham believed and obeyed God. when Abraham was 100 years old, the promised seed was born to him. To him and Sarah, who was 99, amidst great rejoicing, God has kept his promise. We know that God demanded one more act of obedience that would test and stretch Abraham's faith to believe all that God had said concerning this seed, who is the offering up of Isaac. Perhaps Abraham at this time thought about how numerous his seed would be, that promise that God had given, how all the land would be theirs. God also made a covenant with him and told him of the 400 years of affliction that his seed would be in a strange land to them, and he told them of God's deliverance of them. God had said, I will establish my covenant with Isaac. That was the promise. Surely God would raise him from the dead. Shall not the God of all the earth do right? And Abraham did offer up Isaac and received him to life again in a figure. It wasn't until this final act of obedience that God swore in an oath to Abraham. I'm going to read Genesis 22:15 through 18. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. These two things work together. So God made an oath. Did Abraham need an oath? Did he need God to verify his truthfulness? Probably not. He had just received Isaac from the dead. Would not God make all that he had said come to pass? Why did God make an oath? Well, Hebrews tells us he was willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise, that's us,
Amen.
The immutability, the unchangeableness, the unalterableness of his counsel. The oath was for the heirs of promise. For those who, after Isaac and Jacob, would come. For all those who have received the promise of the Holy Spirit and are accounted as the children of God. For those who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The oath was made for us.
Amen.
Do you see the love of God in this? God was willing more abundantly to show us, the heirs of promise, the unchangeable character of his purpose. The oath was made for the heirs. The oath was made for you. For you who would embrace the promise of eternal life in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to read Hebrews 6, 17 through 20 out of the ESV. So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain. And that's as far as the promise went. It went all the way to there, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf, having become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
Amen.
Amen.